Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.
Roland, I have a question about Adam and Eve. Do you think that the Garden of Eden story about Adam and Eve is true? And if so, how do you know? I would like to believe the story, but I'm not quite sure. Thank you for your answer and thank you so much for what you do.
That's a really good question. I've written several books about relationships, and for the past 35 years, I have maintained that the Adam and Eve story is actually true. And how do I know that it is true? It's because I can see that it's true. I see it clearly. And today I'm going to talk about the metaphysics of it, the psychology of it, and the religion of it, and how they all come together in the story. And maybe you will see, as I say it, maybe you will see it. And in the seeing of it, you can immediately begin to improve your relationship with your partner. So here we go.
Welcome to Shedding Shackles. Today's topic is Find Spiritual Maturity. And now, here's your Shedding Shackles host, Roland Trujillo.
There's something going on, and it comes out in marriage. Before you're married, you're free and happy, and you work, and but once you get within the bounds of marriage, then the Adam and Eve thing comes out. And dealing with it successfully is the key to eternal life, actually. Instead of arguing, well, let me put it this way. You have to learn how to love another person and get beyond the ancient enmity between failing men and abused women. That's it. Failing men and abused women. That's the story of the Garden of Eden. Adam failed Eve, and they both suffered for it. And she resented him for his failing. And the kids come along, and the whole process is relived over and over until you find salvation from it, and you find it in the truth that will set you free. When you learn how to... So here's the thing. I know that the Garden of Eden story is true because I see that it's true. It's clear. I see it in the relationship between all the couples I've known. It really comes out in relationships. You can watch YouTube. You can watch stuff on Instagram. You can read stuff. There it is again and again and again. Failing men and abused women. And when Adam failed, he changed and he deteriorated. And I'm going to, on this program, talk about what I see, some of the things I see. Now, I've written many books on the subject, and they're very good. Most of them are really, really good because they're about relationships. And that's how you can solve the ancient mystery, and you guys can live happily ever after. It's by understanding what women need, see, and about failing men, and about what real love is. And today I'm going to talk about the science of it, the metaphysics of it, the psychology of it, and the religion of it, and how they all come together in the story. And maybe you will see, as I say it, maybe you will see it. And in the seeing of it, you can immediately begin to improve your relationship with your partner. You will see your partner in a new light. And instead of resenting them and blaming them and constantly wanting something from them that they don't have, you can love them.
You're listening to Shedding Shackles with Roland Trujillo. Christian stress management on the radio for over 34 years.
What I want to say to you today is that there is a real life that comes from God. The kind of life that you have now, the kind of life that most people have now, is, you could call it a substitute, a compensation for the real thing. The real thing is something like Adam had before the fall. Before the fall, Adam was close to God, and his life revolved around God. God was the center of his world, and inspiration and good things to do and instruction and guidance and love and fulfillment and happiness, they all came from being close to God and knowing God and receiving from God an infilling of the emptiness. Without God, Adam was empty. It was unfathomable. You know, can a fish live without water? Can a plant live without the sun? It was just unthinkable. And it was impossible. But a choice factor entered. A choice factor whereby Adam was given the opportunity to turn his back on God. And when he did, everything changed for him. He literally changed because now whatever life that he would have, whatever compensated existence that he could eke out, it had to come from outs. It had to come from somewhere else and not from God. And so inspiration came from outside, but it was not inspiration anymore because it wasn't from God. Instead, it was something on the outside that would support his ego. See, the moment he separated from God, he became this unstable thing that didn't have God's support, that didn't have an environment to sustain it. See, if you took a fish out of water, then it no longer has what sustains it. If you took a fish out of water now, the fish would die. But for Adam, he didn't die. He had a soul. So what happened was that the soul then had to gather very quickly had to gather. There was probably some residual life from God that was left. That's what it was. You take a fish out of water, it flops around and it's dead. Okay. It doesn't die immediately, though. You know, you take a plant away from the sun, it has something within it that will stay for a while, won't it? So Adam had some kind of residual life from God. Even like Moses. Remember when Moses came down from the mountain? His face glowed. His face glowed, but then it faded. All right, it faded away. Well, Adam still had something in him that glowed from God, and it sustained him for a while, but it was fading away. It was fading away. And in the time between his defection from God and it having totally faded away, there was a time period there where his body could change. His means of support totally changed to the outside. Now, for this thing to continue existing, I call it a thing. I mean, we could call it an ego or whatever it is, whatever a thing is that's separated from God, whatever that is, it needed a new environment. So it needed new inspiration to sustain it. And that new inspiration would have to be what? It would have to be lies. It would have to be excuses and rationale. and there would have to be false things to reach toward. Even now, when you sit for a moment and you become bored, there's nothing on the horizon to reach for, you become bored, and now reality begins to dawn upon you. Reality is God, God's reality. It begins to dawn. You feel nervous, you feel anxious, you feel empty, you want to reach for something. So what do? You reach for your iPhone and stand in front of the refrigerator. There's something that you need something. You put on the television, you go to the internet, you put music on, you call somebody up, you check your text messages. You've got to always have something to provide a substitute for what you would have had if you had just stayed close to God.
You're listening to Shedding Shackles Radio.
Hi, my name is Andrew. You're listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo, which airs weekends on this station. Roland brings old-time religion to life as he talks about repentance and turning back to God. Roland makes a new program every week just for the radio listener. So be sure to take advantage of this special resource. Roland wants you to know that Shedding Shackles is easy to find at your favorite podcast place. Just look for Shedding Shackles. Roland says that since his program is only on the radio once or twice a week, you really should check out the podcast so you can listen again. Thanks and blessings.
Do you have a friend or someone in your family who is stressed out and who you think might benefit from a little stress management exercise? Why not have them check out Sitting Quietly? Just go to sheddingshackles.com and look for Sitting Quietly.
Welcome back. And now, here's Roland.
Even now, when you sit for a moment and you become bored, there's nothing on the horizon to reach for, you become bored, you've got to always have something to provide a substitute for what you would have had if you had just stayed close to God. And you need substitute life. And how does that life come? It comes through emotion. When you are excited, when you are angry, when you're full of passion, when you're full of rage, when you're full of lust, then you feel this life, this animal life. So an animal life was a substitute. False things to reach toward, emotions, lies, and some sort of leadership that would lead this thing to think that it was really living, see? So it would have to lie and give you goals to reach toward. And the thing it probably would give you would be knowledge. See, that's how you fell. That's how Adam fell in the beginning, in the first place, to knowledge. He thought that knowledge, how many of you have you went to college or something and it was exciting. You were excited at the idea of knowledge. And you thought it was going to be great. And after you graduated, you were going to be able to use that knowledge and life was going to be great because of that. But then when you got your degree, it was like nothing. It was like, is that all there is? Remember that song? Is that all there is? And then you got a job and you found out that the knowledge that you acquired at school had absolutely zero to do with the job. It was zero. The point I'm getting at is that knowledge was the original thing that Adam reached for, and to this day we're still reaching for knowledge, for the false promise of knowledge. See? So the devil was the one who originally suggested that Adam could be great through knowledge, and the devil's henchmen are still around in various garbs. Now, they're still pushing the same old thing and telling the same old lie about success and happiness and fulfillment through knowledge. All right, so it's like I was going to say it's like a big scam. It's like a big shell game. You know, it's like musical chairs where, you know, the music stops and then one person is out. And there's always one person that wins. They always have to show one person who seemingly is making a great success of themselves. So they show you that person. And that person, you know, testifies as to how great it is. But then later on, what happens? You find out that person was not really happy. Their family hated them. They weren't really the success that you thought they were. So I think you got the idea. Now, having said all of that, you can clearly see that there is a life, a fulfillment, a love. See, if you had God's love, you wouldn't need anybody else's love. You would have love and you'd be able to give love instead of craving love. You see what I mean? If God gave you things to do, think how cool that would be. Think of David and Paul and Moses and Lydia, people like that. God gave them things to do. Oh, it must have been so cool to be busy about your work, knowing that it's what God gave you to do. Yeah, it would be an awesome responsibility, but he would give you the wherewithal that you could do it. He would see that you could do it. But that would be nice because now a lot of the work you do is like futile. You're making money for somebody else. You know, as soon as you think you're happy in your job, then changes come and a new manager comes and they change everything. Or you're happy in your job and then they start asking you to do stuff that you really don't like to do. Or they're asking you to do things that aren't really good. See? And you're playing another man's game. That's it. You're playing another man's game. And you sometimes get the feeling that you're just a pawn in this big thing that's going on. You're just a pawn. All right. Well, you wouldn't be that. It wouldn't feel that way if you were close to God. You had His love, His approval, His support, His direction, His fulfillment from Him, peace of mind from Him, delightful things to think about from Him, and discoveries to make, knowing that He's helping you to make them. That would be beautiful. And that's the real life.
Pride and emotions block us from God. A Shedding Shackles Minute. I'm Jeremiah Trujillo. Other blocks include distraction, being lost in thought, we'll throw in hypnosis, and let's add resentment. Those are the blocks. If all of those were gone, you would have no problem approaching God. When you were a little child, you were closer to God than you've ever been. Life was beautiful. You jumped from bed and ran about the house. It was a day of adventure, discovering all the things in God's great earth. But something went wrong. What went wrong is you were born into a fallen world, and your parents themselves had not yet found the solution to their problems. Find more inspiration for your day at SheddingShackles.com.
Now, the other thing is that Adam began to change physically. He had to eat food for, I think that probably, this is speculation on my part, but I think that probably before the fall, he didn't have to eat. But after the fall, he had to eat. Yeah, before the fall, maybe he could eat, and there was a small amount of pleasure involved in it, I guess. Maybe the special life from God could use some minerals from the earth with which to construct and sustain the body, perhaps. Kind of like a plant. See, the only thing a plant needs is like what? Water and carbon dioxide and a few minerals from the ground. That's all. Just a few minerals, like not even a one tilt of the salt shaker's amount of minerals it needs. Just practically very, very little. And some carbon dioxide and some water, and sunshine. So it lives on sunshine and a little bit of water, a little bit of carbon dioxide, a couple of little minerals. See? And those are used to put together what the sun is energizing. So the life is from the sun. So Adam's life came from God, and he probably needed a couple of minerals. So yeah, I guess he could eat, but he didn't have to eat for total. See, now we have to, digest food, and we have to burn calories, see, to stay warm, to build up warmth. But Adam, you know, he could live from God's light and love. He lived on God's light and God's love. But now you have to eat, and you look for love from the food, and the food betrays you, see? So I think you got the idea. But now see what happens is, so as we go through life, you know, just as, remember I said that in the beginning, Adam had some residual life from God, and then it faded away. And during that time, he had to construct another metabolism, another kind of metabolism, and a whole different kind of life. Well, in a similar way, we are born, we come into this world as little children, and we're given a life force from God. And then we use that life force, and we're given 70 or 80 years, maybe. If we're lucky, we're given that amount of time to use the life force to make a few mistakes. We begin like everybody else, compensating. We're egos, we're compensating. We're dependent on the world. We look to the world, see? And we do all of that, and it's natural. That's the way we're born. We're born fallen. See, Adam, we're born fallen because we're of the lineage of Adam and Eve. But we're given enough life force in the beginning that if we use it wisely, we don't go around filled with rage at everybody and use up our life force. Then, and we have time. He gives us enough time so that we can see that the life that we have now is a compensated life, and to yearn for something else, and to search for something else, see, which he makes you aware. See, people wouldn't be searching. You wouldn't realize that there's something missing in life, and you wouldn't search if there really wasn't something different and something worth searching for. Not a lot of people find it. They get diverted. See, they get diverted to the wrong thing, or they become resentful and give up. But some people keep searching, and eventually they find God. And when they find God, then they will also then, once again, through the mystery of redemption, of what Christ did, then once again, they can begin to live ever so, how can I say this? Beginning very, very, with very, very little light and life being taken in and absorbed from God. And then it builds and builds and builds until one day you are totally dependent upon Him. In the beginning, you can only take in a little bit. See, you're totally compensated. You're totally changed and adapted to this world in which you live. This dog-eat-dog world of people getting over on each other and tricking each other and fooling and betraying each other and using each other and lying to each other, see? And you react emotionally to all of that. And so you have, and reaching out into the world, and the more you reach, the less fulfillment you have, the more empty you feel. But once you start to, when you refind God, then you can get little insights, little inspirations, little bits of energy to move that's not dependent upon reacting. You can move without it being a reaction. You move in your own time and space with an energy that comes from God and is not derived from animal life. You see what I mean? And then as time goes by, more and more and more, until one day you are transformed, totally transformed, and then you live forever with God. It's so beautiful. But it begins by seeing that something is missing, but not resenting it. See, that's the problem. You know, a lot of husbands, a lot of wives, a lot of teenagers, a lot of kids, a lot of young people, a lot of 30-something people, 40-something people, 50-something, 60-something people, they sense that something's missing, but you make the mistake of resenting. You resent your wife. See, Adam looked to her. He got advice from her and direction from her, and who was standing behind her instead of God. All right, well, you're still doing the same thing. You're looking to her for love and for support, and she'll give it to you. Yeah, but you got to learn to not need support from anybody. You have to learn to get it from God. Then you can have love, and you will be able to give love. You see? When you have love from God, then you won't be needy for the love of the world. So sometimes you drive people away. You're so needy, you drive them away. All right, so you got the idea? All right, so, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, but that's the big mistake, resenting other people. Stop resenting other people. Don't resent your teacher, your pastor, your doctor, your wife, your husband, your kids, your boss. Stop resenting people. Stop looking to them for life. All right? Yeah, you can cooperate with them. You can work with them. You can mutually help each other. But don't look to them for support and life. Look to God for life. That's what I wanted to say to you today. Until next time, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.sheddingshackles.com. You'll find lots of free, helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is SheddingShackles.com.
Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.